the AHDB podcast, practical know-how to help your farm business.
Hi everybody, welcome to this AHDB Beef and Lamb podcast. I'm Amy Hughes and today I've got Jane Shuler with me, who is going to be talking about calving suckers at two. This podcast is actually part of the AHDB Maternal Matters campaign, which is promoting the production of heifers that are efficient, profitable and fit for the future. Hi James, thanks very much for taking the time to speak to me today. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
Good. So today we're going to be chatting about calving at two, and in particular your route to doing so. What drove you to make the change in the first place and how you're doing it, and then have a little chat about any advice you've got for farmers that are maybe sat on the fence or keen to do it but are a little bit daunted by it. But before we get down to the nitty-gritty of actually what you're doing, could you just tell me a little bit about yourself and the farm, please?
So the farm is just north of Oxford near Bicester. I run 65 pedigree simmentals, which are all autumn block calving. We graze 50 hectares on a fairly forage-based system with rotational grazing. 22 hectares of that 50 is fairly flood-prone, so it was one of the reasons for going to autumn block calving, because when we sort of get that May grass, we get a big grass explosion, we do end up being able to have quite a lot of standing forage to get dry cows onto. Our breeding program is all AI, and we are on heat management tags. That obviously works really well, being autumn calving, that everything's housed when it comes to service time. I'm looking to move really to a completely forage-based system with a short winter, producing cattle that can sustain themselves pretty much just on a grazing system and forage.
Okay, so great stuff. So that leads us nicely onto then. When we're talking about anything maternal, especially with this Maternal Matters campaign, we talk about having a cow that's fit for your system and does what you want it to do. So from what you've said, you're after something that grazes, aren't you? You're after a fairly smallish cow, maybe a bit lighter than what you've got at the minute.
Yeah, definitely. I think the future is a smaller cow. I mean, at the moment we've got some fairly big simmentals, which were definitely driven by chasing 200 and 400 day weights, and they obviously have quite a high maintenance every day. So I think a smaller cow will be going back to hopefully 700 kilos with that. When hopefully then we'll have high fertility and a cow that can rear a calf every year and stay in the herd really for sort of 7 to 8 calves.
So you basically just need a suckler cow to be a good suckler cow, don't you? They're not a suckler cow if they don't get back in calf every year. That's the whole point of them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're looking for a low input cost and a lower management cost really too. And the only way of really bringing down that input cost really is going to be to look at our feed bill predominantly and our overwintering.
Okay. So where are you now with your mature cow weight, did you say, roughly?
I think probably 850 would be probably still generous. I think 850 would be roughly where we'd be currently. That needs to change.
Okay. Okie doke. Right. So let's have a chat then about calving at two. It's fairly recently that you've, in the grand scheme of things, that you've moved calving at two. How long have you been doing it?
2 or 3 years, but we had a spell of it about 6 or 7 years ago, and I tried it, and I found really probably the biggest problem of it was we just didn't have enough second calvers coming back into the herd. The heifers seemed to go out to grass and really just, you know, not carry enough flesh to get back in calf again. So we ended up with an autumn herd and a spring herd to try and cover the cost of having a fairly expensive bull on the place. And then we had a transition of autumn heifers going into the spring herd and vice versa, which sort of brought our calving age down to sort of 2.6, 2.8 months. And that kind of worked. But eventually, with wanting to try and work with a grass growth curve, really, we went all autumn calving. And then I had the opportunity to really either calve at 2 or 3. 3 obviously wasn't an option. So it really was a case of looking to calve at 2 and realizing that realistically, a lot of what we did before, I think we just got the management wrong. I don't think the cow's particularly wrong. I think it was the management that needed change to make it successfully something much better.
So you said calving at 3 wasn't an option. Why wasn't that an option? Because it is for a lot of people.
Well, in my opinion, and it's not for me to tell anybody else how to run their own farms here, but the idea of just carrying this bunch of heifers on the farm that really are producing nothing, they're just growing into an animal, which, let's be honest, they are going to end up at 850 kilos plus. I just, to me, it just wasn't an option. You know, every animal on the farm needs to be a productive animal. They're either rearing a calf, or they're in calf, or they are raising kilos of beef each day.
Yeah. Okay. So would you say that was your biggest barrier then, this not being able to get them in calf second time round? That was the biggest sticking point for you?
It was the thing kind of that made me look at it and think to myself that possibly it wasn't the, it wasn't quite all, it was the be all and end all of it. Definitely when I was going to go and change, and I was actually going to go to calving at two, I still had some reservations over it. And I went to see quite a lot of different farmers who have been doing it for a decent period of time. And all of them were, you know, had done it well and done it very successfully. And it was nice to go and see them and try and realize what the pitfalls were with calving it too, and realize what the management criteria of it was that really enabled us to try and just do the job successfully without the drama and the problems that could come with it.
Okay. Okay, so if you were approached by somebody rang you up and said, can I come and have a look at your setup, see what you're doing, what would your top five must-dos be for that farmer in order to crack calving at two?
I think bull selection probably is the top of the list. If you haven't got a decent, easy calving bull, I think you're really up against it. That's a really critical one. I think after that is then heifer selection in its own right. If you don't pick the right heifers, again, I think you're up against it. I think you need to set yourself quite a strict criteria on weights, and weights ahead of actual service date and calving date, and make sure that you do stay on top of that. So weighing, you know, and not weighing every week here. I'm talking, you know, weighing 100 days before service and make sure you've got heifers at threshold. You know, it's, if you get those things right, then everything else goes right. And then after that, really, once you've got the heifer in calf, it's then really grazing management, post-service and through to second calving. And if you can nail those, then, yeah, it's not the challenge that possibly sometimes we think it is.
Right. Let's start then from the beginning. I totally agree with you about bull selection. I think it's where a lot of people go wrong. They panic about calving what they perceive to be a smaller heifer. And I mean, your heifers are going to be smaller at calving, aren't they? If you calve them at two, they're not going to be the size of a cow.
No, and I think there's a lot of people who are so used to calving cows, their heifers seem just a really small animal by comparison. And I think that's the first thing you really have to get in your head, that serving a heifer at 450 kilos, they're not going to be that size when you calve them. You know, they will be 675, 700 kilos by the time they start getting around there. So they're not that far off being a full-grown cow, maybe another 100 kilos to put on them. But they're definitely heading in the right direction. But to start with, looking at 15-month-old heifers that are 450, you know, the dairy industry has been doing it for 20 years. I think that definitely in its own is a mindset change.
Yeah, okay. So genetics then, I once heard a very intelligent geneticist say that genetics puts the ceiling on performance, and it's right, isn't it? If they haven't got the genetics, they're never going to outperform that. So when you're looking for a bull to breed heifers from, what are you looking for, and does that differ to what you're looking for to serve them with?
So I think there's two things there, isn't there? There's the cows you choose to retain heifers from, and then there's the bulls you choose with on them. The actual bull selection for the heifers, you got to make sure that your first calving of those heifers is a really, really positive experience, and that has to be a positive experience for the cow, for the calf, and for yourself. So the cow has got to hopefully calve on its own, so we have a really good calving for the cow. Calving problems is going to absolutely knacker her fertility going into being a second calver. The second thing is, once you've started mauling her about trying to get a calf out, probably the maternal calf bond isn't going to be anything like it should be, because you're probably going to end up with a fairly dopey calf, which is in its own right going to go on to have further problems. And I think for yourself, that realistically, when you set this up, our own mental health goes around the fact that we should, you know, they should be able to just get on and do the job properly. And having to go out and keep tubing calves and doing other things with it to try and keep a calf alive, or even having a negative calving experience, is really bad for morale. So we need to make sure that the first carving is brilliant and it's a really simple one. And let's not panic too much about what the calf is going to almost look like. I think the most important thing is getting a good calf out of a heifer and getting her back in calf again. That's got to be what we're going to look at. But the bull selection, we need a high positive calving ease direct on the EBVs of the bull. But if you're going to look at retaining daughters from it, a positive calving ease for daughters is also a very important thing, because those heifers are going to carry on in your herd and they're going to be the ones that you're hopefully going to be calving in 2 years' time. And I think the calving ease, low gestation and low birth weight probably are the next two most important things. You're really looking for a very maternal bull.
Okay, so what would your, just on birth weight then, what would your birth weights be out of your heifers?
So last year, that was probably the main thing that I looked at, was gestation and low birth weight. I think probably we are in the lower end. We'd be like, our bull calves would have been 44 kilos. I'm quite convinced that there is semen out there from different bulls that we can use, which will be a better experience. And on gestation length, I mean, a bull that's a week early, you know, a calf at that end could be doing, I don't know, 400-500 grams a day. You know, it's 2 or 3 kilos less to get out. I think gestation is quite an important one in trying to get a good presentation and then, you know, a good birthing experience.
Okay, so yeah, very similar then in terms of what you serve your heifers with and what you are using to breed heifers from on the male side, on the bull side of things. Let's talk a little bit about selection then. When you were talking about the cows that you choose heifers to keep from to breed, what are you looking at there? When do you do it for a start? When do you make that selection?
Realistically, I think I look at our group of heifers and I'm not going to be... I haven't picked out special ones of it. I'm looking for the best performing ones. And I do run our pedigree herd very commercially. EBVs are probably the best tool I've got. So I am looking for high index animals and I'm looking for high maternal genetics within it. I'm looking for heifers that have really been born in the first 6 weeks of the main calving pattern, because those are the cows, hopefully, that are the most fertile, that have stayed in that pattern for longer. And I'm also, if I've got some really old cows in the herd that are having heifers, then yeah, I'm looking to try and keep some of their daughters. There's a reason why they're in the herd for as long as they have, and they sustain themselves on my paddocks, you know. So their daughters should be able to go and do it. Those aren't probably naturally the sort of the naturally grown heifers, the well-fleshed ones that have done it as a calf off forage all the time. They're not the ones that have been supplemented. That sort of takes me on, I guess, the next bit of it, really, that you just don't want to keep either really big heifers and you don't want to keep really rangy sort of framed heifers, because all of those will grow into, in my experience with my simmies, they've all grown into really big cows. And as a result of which, they just haven't stayed in the herd. We've I think the energy demand of the cow is obviously higher, you know, at 850 kilos than it is at 700 kilos, and with that comes future fertility problems. And then we're having cows that are in the herd for 3 or 4 years rather than being in the herd for 7, 8, 9 years.
And I suppose how many heifers would you need to keep per year? Are you in a position where you can be picky, or what's the crack there?
I think at the moment I'm pretty much just picking the best of everything and just bulling it.
Yeah.
I would rather have a clear out. And when I started on this, one of the guys in Scotland I went up to go and see did say to me the most important thing is to be absolutely ruthless when you do it and get yourself in a scenario that you just that don't keep anything with bad feet, doesn't walk very well, don't keep it. Anything that, you know, has almost made weight but kind of hasn't really, don't keep it. Anything that's overweight, and just look at a type of cow that you think works on your farm and just stick with it and just say, that's what I want. And once they start going either above or below that threshold, just don't bother with them. You know, we're looking for something which is sort of wide bodied, deep bellied, something that's going to work on forage and has quite a lot of capacity to it. You know, we're almost going back to 1990 and trying to get some cows from there, which I think probably were probably the ones at that point that didn't have the massive genetics of 200 and 400 day weights.
One thing we haven't touched on your selection is temperament. I'm guessing that anything that's, well, do you have any bad temperament cows left? I would imagine you've got shut.
I haven't got anything that I wouldn't get in a pen with. I can tolerate a heifer having a little bit of a grumpy first calving. I tried to carve maybe, I'm sort of putting my finger in the air a bit here, but sort of 60 to 70% of the cows outside. So most of them, we don't have to get too involved in. Think that that in its own right has sort of kept us away from being involved with them to an extent. When I did the new shed, we auto yoked everything. So, you know, health and safety, I am a one man band. So health and safety is a really important thing. So cows are bad temperament. They go pretty much immediately. And bulls we've used over the years, it's a bit difficult really, but I just don't tolerate it. It's not worth the aggro.
Excellent. Okay, right. So point number three that you made then was targets. So what targets are you working towards, and where did they come from? Why did you decide to use those as targets?
So the sort of industry consideration is that a heifer which is going to get served at 15 months needs to be 60% of her mature cow size. So I'm aiming for a 750 kilo cow, which 60% of that is 450 kilos. So that's my service weight. In order to achieve that, realistically, the heifer only needs to do 1 kilo of daily live weight gain through to the service period, and the same through to calving. So the idea that we've got to start ramping grub into these things really isn't true. In fact, you probably end up keeping heifers that probably in the longer run can't sustain themselves on your project. So you've got to try and manage things a bit better. But realistically, just on forage, doing a kilo a day, 450 kilos is easy enough to achieve.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. That 60%, that target that is banded around all the time, 60% of mature cow weight at bulling, I mean, that's not just a figure that's been plucked from nowhere. There's various research studies behind that, like global research studies. And I think it comes back, doesn't it, to having the guts to breed a smaller heifer, or a smaller heifer than you're used to, and just making sure you've got your bull selection right, and having the faith that she's gonna calve, and then she'll carry on growing through to second calving. You know, it's daunting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's really true. And to be honest, that 450 is pretty movable. You know, if we come down to a 700 kilo cow, that comes down to like 420 probably by then. I would, if with the right sort of heifer, I wouldn't worry too much about 430. But that's very much an experience of doing it now and looking at something and saying, yeah, do you know what, that will grow on, and invariably it's one which is just really nicely fleshed, and you know she's going to look after herself and maintain herself once she's has actually got a calf at foot.
Okay so that's your main target then, isn't it, your weight at bulling. So what happens then, what do you do to achieve that? So you've weaned them.
Realistically, I try to work backwards a bit from it. So my calving date is the 5th of September for the heifers. That is 4 weeks in front of where the main herd is. So that makes my service date the 15th of October. So as a bit of a check, really, I'm ideally 1st of July, 100 days prior to service. I want that heifer to be 350 kilos. So we would normally, first week of July, we'd get all the heifers in and worm everything, trace element bolus, and just make sure that we are in the right place, and make sure that we've got them on the right grub and keep them growing well. That's like our first check. So I think we can do quite a lot in 100 days if needs be. There's no point bringing them in, you know, a week before and going, oh Christ, they're all a bit light. So so we basically would wean, trace element bolus, and then they'd go on the best grazing we've got on the farm. By the time we get to July, you know, in a normal year, we're pretty dry. So we've started putting some more herbal lazy, and we planted some chicory into one of our grazing blocks last year to try and just maintain some better quality forage. And there are some fields of the farm, obviously the less flood prone ones, which just carry better grass. So they tend to go up on those. The other cows are all dry cows by then. So they tend to just go and earn a living. If we can keep them full, they can maintain themselves.
And they're kept in the same group, aren't they? You don't put them in with your cows or anything.
The actual grouping of them is a really important part of the whole process. And just making sure that they stay on their own. So they are on the best forage. I guess you could run them on a leader follower system, but to me, you know, we've made probably a second cut silage by the end of June. So there should be some grass about on the farm, which is pretty good quality. And I prefer just to run them on that. It's much easier management wise if you want to get them back in as a group to be able to move them around and get them in and out of handling systems, etc.
So for your bulling then, you've said everything's AI on the farm. Are you doing any like pre-breeding checks? Are you recording reference heats or anything like that before you actually start serving?
Yes and no. So I think this year probably we're going to sort of a month before, so we'll be first week of August somewhere, I think probably we'll just tail paint all the heifers and just make sure that everything has obviously had a heat. Those that haven't, I guess on weight, they may be some of the younger ones that just haven't been mature enough. And those other ones that haven't, I might get the vet to have a look at. But if they haven't had a heat, the chances are they're better off going into the fattening pen. Yeah. and not staying on the farm. And that is that slightly ruthless side of saying, well, you know, your best fertility ones will always be your best fertility ones. And they're the ones you should maintain.
Yeah, and if they're to weight, you know, if they're at the right weight, that your heifers should hold, shouldn't they? If they're fit to hold, they will hold first time round over your cows anyway. How many services are you giving them? Two, did you say?
So we're 42 days. So two straws and anything that hasn't held in that, then that goes basically into the fattening pen. And we don't keep those. Okay. Heifers always, you know, they're going to need an extra. I think there's a heifer needs something like an extra 10 to 15 days longer than a cow to get itself back into position to get in calf.
Yeah.
So if you've got something that's, you know, served 4 weeks in again back to the main block, then she's already middle of your main calving pattern. And yeah. I'm hoping that we will eventually end up with sort of 9 weeks being our norm on our main herd.
Okay. And what did you serve this last time and what was your conception rates?
So I'm on some heat detection tags, which so we have to get the heifers in probably 10 days prior to service, just so the tags can register on the system. Then it gets some pretty good data and it goes from there. So service rates were pretty good. We had about 65% hold to first service. We had a couple that were second service, and then I had one or two that didn't get back in calf, which have since gone, or didn't get in calf rather, and have since gone.
And that's conventional semen. You're not dabbling with sex.
Not yet. That's going to be this year's plan. I actually imported some semen over from Canada, trying to find a bull which is all those things of positive calving ease and low gestation and low birth weight. Actually, it's a bit of a challenge. There really wasn't one in the UK that I wanted. And having had a look through the British Simmental database, I found a bull on there that I quite liked. He's got really phenomenal 2 and 400 day growth as well. So I bought 40 straws of that. I put some into my heifers. And any cows last year that had a big calf or a difficult calving or a poor presentation, I used a straw on them as well. Just a bit of, I guess, as a bit of a project of my own to just see how different the size of the calf would be by comparison to what they had the year before.
Okay. And just quickly on AI, because you know what I'm like and I can't help myself. That's another fairly recent thing. You did a course through AHDB, didn't you? The 50% funded courses. How long have you been on? So you've only just got rid of your bulls properly, haven't you?
3 years. So the first year, I was a bit green, to say the least of it. And I wasn't sure how well I would get on with it. So I basically split the herd in half. I still kept my two stock bulls and I did I did probably 10 or 15 cows and I did a couple of timed AIs and I got someone in to come and serve my heifers just because I thought they were going to be quite tricky. So I did that in the first year. Last year would be my first year November through to second week of February, and I did all of that myself. I have put ultimate faith in my tags and have just got on with it. And yeah, conception rates have been pretty good. On my second calvers, so the heifer with a calf at foot who's out of grass now, I only had one of those that didn't get back in calf. She had a very atypical bull calf that was 60 something kilos, which had to be a cesarean. She hasn't got back in calf and she'll be going. So that's quite an expensive way of going on. But that I'm not going to say that wasn't the bull's fault, but it shouldn't have been like that, but it was. Yeah, it's just that's one of those things. But I think probably we ended up with about all of my heifers that calved at two are all back in calf by her.
And I suppose going full AI on a herd is a big undertaking. And I'm guessing, well, we've had this conversation before, if you were springbok calving, you wouldn't have taken to it. It would have been far more work, wouldn't it, for you? But I suppose using AI, especially on your heifers, that means that if your stock bull isn't serving his own daughters, doesn't it?
It definitely maintains your... It maintains the period of time you can keep your stock bull. And let's be honest, I mean, a decent stock bull isn't cheap. And keeping a stock bull on the farm also isn't cheap. The depreciation's pretty poor on them. So they need to stay around for a long time. You know, you need a lot of longevity out of that bull. So just keep producing more and more daughters who are out cross from him is actually is a really positive thing. I just think that looking at our cows, there are certain bulls that really suit some cows and not others. I haven't gone and bought loads and loads of semen from loads of different places. I have used three or four bulls that I thought would really suit what we were trying to do. And I've tried to pick those to work with the cows in question to see if we could really breed some really good maternal cows out of it.
Okay, right. So moving on then, bull into calving quickly. What, any special treatment there that we haven't already spoken about? I suppose you're keeping them in the same groups and they're still getting the best of everything, are they, at that point?
So really from bulling through to calving, when they come in, they're pretty much just on first cut silage, lucerne silage, and some trichocale whole crop. And again, we're not trying to push them on. They're not on loads of rolled barley. You know, and I weigh everything at turnout to make sure that we're sort of there. But we're still really only trying to achieve much more than a kilo a day. If you've got a separate pen, really, you'd like to put your bulling heifers in one pen and you'd like to put your fattening heifers in another, really, just so, because your fattening heifers you still want rid of off the farm, you know, as soon as possible. You want them going out to grass fit and growing on and going, don't you? Whereas your calving heifers are a little bit different and you don't really want them fat, you still want them fit.
Yeah. So when we come to calving, and how do you know what the how many more heifers you had to help versus cows? Did you have to assist many?
Yeah, I think we calved 3 out of 15. So it was pretty straightforward for most of it. The one thing I think there's an industry figure, isn't there, of the difference between heifers and cows. I think 15% of heifers need some level of help and 5% of mature cows. And I've sort of changed the farm around. We've built quite a decent handling system out of just stuff that was on the farm. And we sort of put, you know, quite a few extra gates in. So we've got quite a big block of ground that runs all back to one handling system. And then we've made a couple of small paddocks around there. So because we've got all the AI dates and the heifers are pretty condensed, we just use those paddocks next to the handling system to be able to run the heifers back to if there's any problems. Sometimes you just want a heifer and calf just in a smaller pen for a couple of days just to try and bond. You know, you might have a calf that doesn't suck very well or something with it, which I think, you know, and some heifers aren't very helpful after they calve, let's be honest. So just trying to have some small paddocks around the handling system is helpful. And I think I'm not saying we're blasé with the main block of cows at all, but when we're calving heifers, I do tend to just try and make a little bit more effort to get down and see them a little bit more regularly. I definitely get down there at last light and I'm down there first thing in the morning. In September, you're pretty, you know, daylight's pretty good still. So you get a decent window to be able to monitor them.
It's interesting what you just said about some heifers not being that helpful when they calve, because that's something that we get told quite a lot, is that, you know, people think that calving these young heifers, they're not very good mothers or they haven't got a lot of milk. What's your experience with that?
No, I genuinely don't think that's the case. I think most of the heifers are pretty good. I actually think the biggest aggro with them, as soon as you get something in and calve it, I think the heifer has, I'm not saying lost it, but the heifer gets quite annoyed just by, because the whole thing's unfamiliar to her. So once you start getting involved and you start calving them, I think that maternal bond between her and her calf, because she's gone to flight rather than anything else, I think that sort of maternal bond becomes quite broken, and then she doesn't really want to try and get with the calf and try and do it. So really trying to pick a proper heifer's bull is so important. And it goes back to that first carving being a really good experience for everybody. And I don't want to be down there, you know, with my head torch on, putting gallons of colostrum down calves. You're always going to get a few heifers that aren't going to have a lot of milk, but that'll come. And I tend to find with them that if we have got something that I don't think has kind of sucked as you start heading towards it getting dark, I would always just go and mix up a bit of colostrum formula and just tube the calf and put 2 or 3 litres down it. And then at first thing in the morning, if it still hasn't sucked, then I'd probably try and get it in. I have just invested in one of these cow catchers to go on the front of my JCB. So if we do have a calving experience, within reason, we should be able to catch the cow and the heifer and actually just leave them in it overnight. So, I mean, they're in an area 10 foot square. If they can't become friends in that, then realistically, they're not going to.
No. Okay. So then the bit that we've already spoken about, this being, are you seeing this as the most difficult bit, is from the first calving, getting them back in calf and through to second calving. What changes have you made there to make sure that that happens?
Realistically, I think from that period right the way through, it's pretty much all about nutrition. So as soon as your heifer is calved, you've got to get her on the best grub that you've got. So get her in your best grazing paddocks. I don't house anything because realistically we're September, you know, to go from there through to March, that's a really long period of time. So you get a nice little group together once a week, just try and pull out all the cows that have calved, and then we get them onto the best grazing paddocks that we've got at that point. And by September we should have had some rain if we're dry. This year we've got an embarrassment of grass, so that should be quite simple. But when it comes to turnout, in March, those heifers always go out with their calf at foot in a separate paddock. It's really important that you get them out, that they can be treated as a separate group. They again can be on your better grazing, because the bigger cows have got more fat stored. They can mobilize that energy and they can look after themselves better. So getting them in a separate paddock, keeping them on some good grazing is the really sort of important part post calving. And then an early weaning, I don't know what most people would normally do on their main block. I think as an autumn block, we probably wean later because we've got so much grass in front of them that the cows actually will get really fat prior to calving. So we probably, the main block might wean a little bit later, and the cows will look after themselves pretty well. But our heifers, 180 days mid-calving. So, you know, if we're calving for 42 days, as in two services, 180 days from the middle of there, that's realistically when you want to start getting those heifers weaned. You might want to look after the calves a little bit more. Some people creep feed them. I want that heifer from then on to have a really good rest period and be able to probably put on the best the best amount of flesh she can prior to having a second calf. Because if she goes into having a second calf run down, you know, she is not going to, when she joins the main herd, and that is the point when she has a second calf, she'll join the main herd then. If you get her in a pen where she gets bullied a bit or anything else because she's one of the smaller ones, she just won't bring it back. So those heifers really want looking after and they want weaning early. I think at the moment and I guess it all helps with being on rotational paddocks, but I think there's quite a nice way. I just need to work out my watering system to go with it. But I think I'm going to try next year and get my heifers onto a leader follower system. So they'll have probably a day and a half in the paddock before the main block of cows come through, just to eat the best out of it. There's some sort of pretty reliable data that any animal put into a paddock will select the best diet they can. And then, so the first group get the best bite, the next group obviously get a bit of a lesser bite. But again, those big cows of ours, you know, they are pretty resilient. And as long as they're full, they seem to be fairly happy. So those sort of standing grass meadows almost seem to work quite well for them.
Yeah. Okay. And you say you're not creeping your calves though, are you?
So we are, TB wise, we are on low risk edge here. And it just seemed one of those things that realistically, creep feeding is incredibly expensive. And I'm not sure really that we were ever getting the best gains out of it. I think if you sell in stores, then I think that's a different ballgame. But also the risk of having badgers in calf creeps and one thing or another, to me, it just seemed one of those things that we didn't really want. But also going back to your heifer selection, realistically, if you're keeping calves that have been creep fed, when you actually put them onto the farm as a heifer, if she's been putting calf because she was creep fed, there's nothing to say that she can then sustain herself further on down the line. So I think there's something quite important about producing heifers that can sustain themselves on grass, that when they actually have calf, they can still sustain themselves.
And then, so go on then, what were your conception rates this last time in your first calved heifers?
Yeah, we said that earlier. I had one not getting calf who had the cesarean. Everything else got back in calf. A couple were our second service, but on the whole, most of them held to first service.
And bull selection for those girls, similar again, easy calving.
Definitely. I think does a cow not reach its mature weight till it's sort of 3/4? Yeah. So realistically, those first two calvings, I think they just want really looking after. They are big investment cows, and you want them, you know, you wouldn't want to have to go and buy them all the time. And it seems somewhat, I'm not going to say cheaper having your own heifers, but it's a really big investment because you would have sold all those as fat calves otherwise. So to actually keep them and then sell them as a lesser item as a barren cow aged 3 or 4. So you really got to stay on top of making sure that you're treating them well and they stay within there, because that's when they pay you back.
Okay. So costs then, James, for all of this, it doesn't sound like you've really had to invest in any specific infrastructure. It sounds more like time, your time more than anything. Would I be right in saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't got massive fields. You know, my average field size would probably be 8 hectares. So, and I've split most of those up into some fairly permanent grazing paddocks anyway. They just have some handrails pulled out off main fences. So it's a really simple system. It's just really about trying to get groups together and putting the right groups in the right places and just prioritizing grass towards them. But nutrition really is, I mean, it's the only thing on your farm today that you can change. Everything else takes some period of time. So to me, it's getting the right groups in the right places, making sure you hit all your thresholds and just making it a management system rather than trying to do anything else with it.
So we know that calving at two then is the norm in the vast majority of countries, New Zealand, America, Canada, South America, you name it. They've been doing it for a lot of years, and yet only 35% of UK farmers are calving suckler heifers at two. So what do you think is the issue?
I think they're serving a sort of 430 to 450 kilo heifer. A lot of people would look at and say, I don't think that is the right thing to do. They're too small. They won't have a calf. You do have to realize you're 284 days, is it, from calving, and they still should reach a decent size, and they should have enough frame and a big enough pelvis to get a calf out. I think that genuinely is a worry for a lot of people. But at some point, I'm not suggesting anybody should go and, you know, who's been calving at three, calve 50 cows tomorrow at two, because it is going to be a learning curve and there are problems with it. But I think that's one of the real barriers, that people look at it and they think they're too small to calve. But they do continue to grow, and they really will continue to grow till they're four. I think the choice of bulls is really difficult. And I didn't really realise I was going to end up going to Canada to get some semen to actually find the right bull. I think a lot of the breed societies have probably chased a lot of growth for a long period of time now. And I think as a result of which, we've ended up with some, you know, with growth comes frame, comes a lot of other problems. And with those problems has come bigger calves. And, you know, the cow hasn't changed, so the bigger calf becomes a bigger problem for sure. The other thing is, if people aren't doing what I'm doing in AIing, if you're only doing 10, 15, you know, heifers a year, or 20 heifers a year, you know, most people's mature stock bull would go out with 35, 45 cows. If you've got a bull just to cover, you know, 15 to 20 heifers, that really does make him quite an expensive bull. And I think people are a bit sort of panicked over that. So maybe they don't. But realistically, if you're going to go and buy a nice young yearling bull from somewhere, as long as his genetics work right, and I think you have to obviously look at his EBVs, I think you're in a scenario that those young bulls actually only want a few cows to run with. So so to put them in with a group of young heifers that aren't going to bully him, it's actually a bit of a win-win scenario.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like you say there, it's making sure that that his EBVs are up to scratch, isn't it? And that kind of thing. So, okay, right, let's go back over these top five then. So bull selection, easy calving, both direct and maternal, or daughters, depending on which breed you're looking at. heifer selection, make sure you get that right. Target, set those and make sure you stick to them. Growth in particular was your main one. Grazing management or nutrition, depending on what system you're running, pushing those heifers on and achieving the growth rates, but making sure you stick to what they're going to have as cows, basically. And then group management. Is that your top five?
I think so. I was a bit daunted by it. And every year we started getting our heifers calved. And I was like, oh, God, thankfully that's over for another year. And after you've done it for a few years, you actually start to realise that that isn't the case. It's not a case of, you know, I'm pleased we're done with it. It's actually not as challenging as you think. And most people should be able to achieve it. You do need a set of scales. You do need to weigh a little bit more to make sure that you are, you know, you are hitting all your weights, so it does make things at the end of it. And the management side of things, it's everything to make it happen. And if you can get those things right, it's very achievable. The lack of non-productive females on your farm is quite surprising, especially when it came around to us with being on edge with 6 monthly TB testing. It's one group less to look after. It's one group less to TB test. It's one group less to do everything with. Calving at two here or calving at three? Well, we went calving at two, and it has been something which, in the grand scheme of things, is very positive. And hopefully you end up getting an extra calf, you know, earlier. And not only do you keep yourself happy, you keep the bank manager happy as well.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thanks so much for talking to me, James. I was lucky enough to get the grand tour of your farm the other day and your cows, and they're a credit to you. Your first calved heifers in particular look great. You can really see the changes that you're making in terms of moving towards that smaller cow, but they certainly weren't lacking in performance because you hadn't weaned them when I came around, and the calves looked great as well. So absolute proof that it can be done. Thank you all for listening. I'm sure you've all managed to get some tips and starting points from James today. He's one of a group of farmers that will be sharing their experiences with throughout Maternal Matters campaign. So just keep an eye out for more podcasts, webinars and videos. And then head to our Maternal Matters webpage on our website, the link to which will be in the bio for this podcast. And you've got all the information in there that you might want to inform your decisions about calving at two. Thanks again for listening. Take care. Bye-bye.